This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
9 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Good morning. Thank you for staying tuned. My name is Enoch Baviri. We get into conversations this morning. Still talking politics, of course. Yesterday morning, at about 7 o'clock, there was a live broadcast by the Vice President, Yemi Osinbajo. He was declaring his intention to join the presidential race. For those who may not know, Ahmed Bola Tinubu has come out to say he's not my godson, but he brought him into politics somewhat. So Tinubu has also declared for the same party. So we're going to be talking about that on one side. Also, the party primaries upcoming. APC has somewhat dealt with their zoning issues. PDP, they had a meeting, yes. The National Working Committee said they would send it to the NEC and they would transmit, but it's been silent. But then again, if you look at those who have picked up the tickets, you know, it's a mixed grill. It's a mixed grill. So Achike Chude, Public Affairs Analyst, joins me from Lagos this morning to look at these issues. Good morning, Achike.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us here in Port Harcourt.
Yeah, good morning. Pleasure.
Yeah, so let's start with what the zoning formula is looking like for both major political parties at this time.
Yes, well, of course, we know that zoning is not a constitutional requirement, but it is a political, it's seen as a political expediency by the political class. You know, with the realization by certain politicians, by politicians in the North and the South, that if the politics, you know, in Nigeria is all about numbers, then the South might never get the opportunity of having the highest level of votes to put somebody, you know, in government house at the federal level. And so they hit on under the G34 led by Alex Ekweme. There was an agreement that power should move from the North to the South. And that is the only way you can get the various, the major parts, constituent parts of this country to be involved in the politics because of the obvious advantages. First of all, it gives a sense of belonging to Nigerians generally, that everybody can have access to power, looking at both regions. And so that has continued. Of course, other political parties are not bound by this arrangement. In fact, no political party is bound by this arrangement. But like I said, it is a matter of political expediency. The monopoly, but if you look at it deeply, even while other parties, other people are complaining about zoning, you know, the complaint is usually at the federal level, because in virtually all the states in this country, zoning is a formula that a lot of, you know, parties, political parties are using. You talk about, you know, the east of a state and the southern part of a state and the middle part of a state and all that. So zoning is an arrangement that, you know, the political parties have hit on as a basis to, you know, continue to remain relevant to the people. Now, with regards to zoning within the APC, at the time, it seemed as if the North was not going to give power.
Mm.
Of course, you know, the crisis that has been bedeviling this country, the issue of the threat of secession in the Southeast, and at the time under Sunday Igbowo, you know, the same kind of situation, the Yoruba nation and all that, agitation for Yoruba nation. So people feel that perhaps, you know, some arrangement with zoning might be able to help at that level. You know, so the APC seems to have gotten it right, because they have actually zoned the presidency to the South. Now it is left for the southern political elites to be able to decide on who actually will take the mantle of leadership in terms of the person that is going to represent the APC for the presidential election. Then for the PDP, you think that the PDP would have also sorted it out. PDP seems to be having problems. Obviously, perhaps because of the ambition of Atiku Abubakar and then Lucius Saraki. These are the two major people that are trying to insist that zoning should not be the basis for having a candidate of the PDP in the South. That would seem to be unfair, because there's been this, I mean, even under when Obasanjo was in power, it was clear that after Obasanjo had left office, that Yar'Adua naturally would take over, because Sierra Gua, you know, belonged to PDP and he's from the north. So it was very clear. But PDP seems, for whatever reason, perhaps because of the need to assuage the political ambition of people like Atiku and Saraki, they seem to be on the verge of jettisoning that. And if they're not careful, that might backfire in a spectacular fashion.
How?
You know, so people expect them to do much more.
How is that?
Yeah, because obviously the North has had 8 years of politics. I mean, of, you know, of being at the helm of affairs in the country. It has been 8 years of war and calamity. If you look at the economy, you look at the crisis of governance, the insecurity, and so on. But you could make the argument that, after all, Buhari is not a member of the PDP; he's a member of the APC. But it cut across, really, that one side has, you know, had 8 years of power, then it goes to the other side.
So you're thinking that.
Yeah.
The chances of the PDP will increase if they field a candidate from the south.
I think so, because the APC, there is a sense of justice that they have done the right thing, but that you understand that they also feel that their power is not something that should be the exclusive preserve of people from a particular part of the country, but should go to other parts of the country.
But
let me just say this.
Okay.
I mean, you know, as a caveat, let me just say this. That we are not saying that in a country that is working well, that zoning should be the way to go. If Nigeria, if we had built a nation, you know, that the zoning will not figure as a major criteria for electing people in political offices.
Yeah, but we're here now.
Simply because the country is not working, that is why people are resorting to the issue of zoning, to temper some of the crisis that we're having, the crisis of governance in the country.
Okay.
So if the PDP, for instance, insists on not zoning, it might backfire. Because people from the south might feel, you know, that look, that they have nothing at stake with regard to the PDP. So why are they going to cast their lot to the PDP? So they might reluctantly want to play the spoiler. They might reluctantly feel that since the APC is presenting a certain candidate, that they might as well, you know, give their votes to the certain candidate. I'm not saying that is going to happen, because in politics anything can change at any time. Dynamics, you know, are fluid. They change by the day, by the hour, by the minute, by the second. You know, so, but I think that it is a risk that the PDP will do well not to take. It will not serve them well. All they need to do, and the reason by the PDP has been that there are some people that are more electable than others. So who are the people that are more electable than others? Is it an Atiku? Is it Saraki? If you said that, I mean, as a basis for that
assertion,
people will ask you.
Yeah, but Atiku, when you say more electable, are we looking at those that are trying to get the ticket right now?
Yes, that's exactly.
Okay, from the northern region, we have Bukola and Atiku, right? From the south, we have Governor Yesom Wike, Peter Obi.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
Yeah, we have Pius Ayim, the man, what's his name now?
Ogbonwa.
We have Ogbonwa and maybe one or two others.
Okay.
And then we have Omahi, Dev Omahi of Boyne State. You understand? So if they are talking about electability, it doesn't make sense. Because if you look at the political dynamics of this country, you realize, yes, Atiku has the weight. Atiku has the visibility. Atiku has the greatest, you know, level of visibility among the politicians within the PDP fold. And he's also well resourced. He's heavily resourced. But if you look at that, that will not be an argument. For instance, Obasanjo is very visible in this country. He's one of the most visible Nigerians, you know, around. But Obasanjo did not have a constituency when it comes to electoral votes. He didn't have a constituency. That was provided. He even lost in his own ward. And so, but what happened was that the party brought a structure and put it behind Obasanjo. He was able to become president twice, win the presidency twice. The same thing with even Jonathan Goodluck in 2011, by the time he contested for the presidency of this country. Goodluck did not have a constituency. He did not have, you know, a base, a strong political base, his own strong political base and structures. Even in Bayelsa State and all that, he had to depend on this structure, on the structure of the former, the governor, the late governor of Bayelsa State. I'm trying to remember his name now. And then, so he didn't have it. Yar'Adua himself did not have it. And don't forget that even Buhari had contested for the presidency of this country three times and did not win until members of the ACN and the CNPP and others got their resources, got their structures behind Buhari before he was able to scale the line, and before he was able to go through and become president of Nigeria. So it is not about the visibility of a person. It is also about the support structure that the political party puts down for the candidate that is representing their interest.
Okay, so let's look at what happened yesterday morning. Were you one of those expecting the vice president to declare? Because some people have been waiting, rooting for him, saying that right now he's the best thing that has happened after sliced bread. What was your take on that?
Well, this is some people will tell you that it was the biggest, best known secret that a lot of people knew about it, that it was going to happen. But again, as time went on, people began to think that he might chicken out in the sense that people felt he might not, have the necessary courage and boldness to take up the political machinery of his benefactor and godfather, that is Tinubu. Don't forget that Tinubu brought him into the limelight politically. He appointed him Commissioner of Justice and the Attorney General of Lagos State. He also was instrumental in Obasanjo, emerging vice president, candidate of the APC and eventually vice president. So people felt that he owed Tinubu, that he ought to remain loyal to Tinubu. But then again, if you look at the trend in politics all over the world, people could also say that was a bit of naivety. First of all, power is really never given, it is taken. And we have seen how politicians in Africa, especially presidents, when it gets to the end of their tenure, they tend to tinker with the constitution to give themselves, a longer period of reign as president in those countries. And then the normal thing again is that after a vice president has served his principal well, has served the president well, it is expected that the vice president automatically steps in to replace his principal. You look at, other democracies in the world, in most cases, that is what happens. In America, that is what happened. When President Biden ran for the presidency with Kamala Harris, it was expected that when he is through, if he doesn't go for a second term, Kamala Harris will step in. If he goes for a second term and exhausts his tenure, Kamala Harris will step in. That is what usually happens. But obviously, Tinubu wanted a change of a scenario. He felt that Osinbajo owes him. And then, people, since he declared, people have been accusing, some people have commended Osinbajo. Others have accused him of a betrayer, of being a traitor, of disloyalty. But those people, Tinubu and his people should be the last people to talk about disloyalty. Because if you look at Tinubu's ascension to political power in Lagos State, for instance, before he became a national figure, it was made possible by the support structure of the Afeniferi. It was the Afeniferi that helped to make Tinubu what he is today. And what did Tinubu do? Immediately he climbed the ladder. He pushed the ladder away and made things very difficult for the Afeniferi and removed, destroyed the Afeniferi politically and then became the major domo of politics in the Southwest. So they can't be talking about, betrayal and disloyalty.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
All right. So some people are saying that, there was a statement he made. I can't quite recall it in exact words, but I think he was saying something about continuing or completing what this government is doing right now. Some people have said, well, you can't blame him. He can't speak against his principle right now. But some other people are saying that
Hello?
Yeah, some people are saying that it's unfair. Yeah. It's unfair to judge Oshibajo based on Buhari and the APC government's failure.
I don't know why anybody... Look, this is the kind of argument anybody will give. Oshibajo is the vice president of this country. He is the number seven, second citizen of Nigeria. After the president, he is the one. So he is in bed completely. He is cahoots with this government. You cannot separate him from the government that he serves. You cannot separate the failures of the Buhari administration, for instance. If his administration is judged to have failed, you cannot separate that Oshibajo from that failure. He is an integral part of the failure or the success of the Buhari administration. Because are you telling me today that if Buhari, for instance, had succeeded with handling the problems of this country in terms of governance, in terms of security, in terms of the economy, if all of these things were on the positive side, are you telling me that Oshibajo will not climb the rostrum to beat his chest to say that, look, we have achieved this? So is he now going to also climb the same rostrum and say, look, remove my hand from it, I'm not involved in what is happening? So if you're talking about that, in fact, that might prove, you know, if we are playing issue-based politics in this country, that might prove the Achilles heel of Oshibajo presidential ambition, because it cannot be separated from the failure of the Buhari administration. I would agree with you that there is no way that he said, for instance, when he was declaring that he was going to continue on the path that the president has set, he couldn't have said otherwise, because to do otherwise would be to go against his principal. They often need Buhari's influence because he's still the president of this country and he's still very, very influential. When Tinubu was making the same declaration, he also said the same thing, that he was going to continue along the path that Buhari, is treading. Now, that path is a path that has led us nowhere in terms of the economy, in terms of insecurity, in terms of the corruption that has continued unabatedly in this country. But then they had no choice. Because let me just also, buttress what I'm saying with this point. When Clinton, for instance, when Obama, when an American president, for instance, is popular, every candidate, they have midterm elections. Mm-hmm. Every candidate that wants to contest for a particular post, whether for the Congress or for the Senate, they touch their achievements. They love the achievements of the president because the president is popular, because they know that they are going to garner votes as a result of the president's popularity. But when that president is not very popular, those candidates go out of their way to distance themselves from the policies of the president as much as is possible, because they know that the president's misgovernance might become their undoing. We saw what happened in the state of Virginia in the United States during the midterm, during the governorship election, when McAuliffe, tried to embrace Biden, even though Biden was not doing well as president at that time. People warned him that this could be devastating, But ultimately, it turned on him. Biden's failure also had a way of impacting, on him, and it did impact on him, because a man who was not, supposed to win that election, because McAuliffe was ahead of him with a double digit figure, ended up winning that election. So this is what happens. Nobody can tell us that Oshibajo is not part and parcel of what has happened with the Buhari administration. It's not possible.
So do you think it's going to affect his candidacy in any way?
But it might not affect the candidacy, because the political elites within the APC are not going to, that's not going to be a consideration for the APC. The APC will still, even when they talk, they will still tell you, contrary to what we're seeing, they will still tell you that their government has done well. Don't forget that, Rufai recently was telling us that we should not, we shouldn't think of going back to Egypt, referring to the PDP. We shouldn't go back to where the PDP were with the PDP in 2015, in 2011, 2012, 2013. And Buhari said that Nigerians will never allow the PDP to put their dirty hands on Nigeria. Same thing with the Minister of Information, Lai Mohammed, that Nigerians will never give the PDP any opportunity. But if you look at it really, if going back to Egypt, according to Rufai, means going back to a period where the exchange rate was about 165 naira to the dollar, where the pump price of fuel was much lower than it is today. When inflation was in single digit and not the double digit that we see today, when unemployment was not as bad as it is today, when insecurity was not as bad as it is today, if you ask Nigerians whether they prefer the Nigeria of today or the Nigeria of that time, they are going to tell you that they prefer that Nigeria, not because they like Jonathan, not because they like the PDP, but the economic conditions at that particular point in time cannot be compared. It was more favorable and cannot be compared to where we are today. So this is the reality that we are facing. Unless we want to fly against the face of reason, you know, what is happening are empirically verifiable when you go to the market with the number of people that are being killed. So you could even say that, you know, under the Jonathan administration, in terms of security, people died by the dozens. But under Buhari, people are dying by the hundreds. This is again a strange thing, because people expected Buhari to do much more, and he did promise that he was going to do much more. Mm. So we shouldn't give excuse.
Right.
This happened under the PDP. That was why the PDP was kicked out. Don't forget that Nigerians came out against the PDP and voted boldly against the PDP. So, you know, for the APC to come and tell us that the period we're in now is better than the period of the PDP, when you look at all the indices, the economy and the rest, and the insecurity, then, they are not being truthful with Nigeria.
All right, Achike.
So it showed impact against the Osinbajo playing issue-based politics in the country.
All right. I don't know if that's what we're playing right now, but a commercial will play, then I'll reconnect with you in a bit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chike Chide, public affairs analyst, joining me from Lagos, talking about zoning. Even though the APC didn't quite say it, he said that if you look at it, all the candidates are from the south. For the PDP, they still have two from the north, Atiku. Oh, there's even Tambuwal and Saraki. And then from the south, of course, you have Gonaiyo Sonwike, Peter Obi, and a few others. He's saying that it would be in the best interest of the PDP to zone to the south. And then, of course, talks a bit about Osinbajo and how being part of this government might rub off on him. My name is Enola Gbevire. We're now adjourned for Port Harcourt. Do stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Hard
take
facts.
A detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. Something we must note, most of the candidates who vying for the presidency are actually, you know, not so old. Perhaps this is not too old to... Okay, well, they're not too old as compared with what we had in 2019. So... from this part of the country, River State, for example, we have Chibike Amaechi on the side of the ABC, Gonaiyo Sonwike on the side of the PDP. So there's really no clash per se. But in the APC, we're seeing for the first time political godfather Ahmed Bola Tinubu and, someone he brought into politics who has said he's not my son politically. Yemi Osinbajo vying for the same ticket. Atike today is back on the phone. Atike, let's look at that for a bit. Tinubu has been there. He has all the structures, and his support got Osinbajo where he is today. Now they're standing against each other, as it seems, in this race. What do you think?
Well, you know, you cannot. Osinbajo is a new fight compared to Tinubu when it comes to, you know, politics, and also when it comes to resources and when it comes to reach and influence, and you know. Osinbajo is as visible as Tinubu by virtue of the national office he holds, the Vice President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. But when it comes to the game of politics, like I said, Osinbajo is a beginner. Tinubu holds all the aces. So if it is just a matter of a contest between Tinubu and Osinbajo, without any serious outside help, then Osinbajo would get nowhere. I think Tinubu would be in hands down politically. Of course, in the southwest, Tinubu is in charge of the structures of the APC in the southwest.
Mm.
I'm not sure that Osinbajo has any viable constituency that he can hold on to. So, but what is going to happen, like I said, ultimately, it's not going to be down to what each of these candidates bring exclusively. Of course, it's important that they also bring in something. But it's going to be about the backers of Osinbajo and those that are supporting Tinubu. That's why when I was talking about OBJ, I tried to say that he didn't have, when it comes to constituency, he didn't have any serious constituency on ground. He didn't have any political party structure, but yet he became president of Nigeria. Same thing with Goodluck Jonathan.
Yeah, but at that time, was there anybody from the southwest that was standing against Obasanjo that had clout of any kind?
Olufalaye, who ran against Obasanjo, had clout, relative clout, I would say, but not as much as Obasanjo. Don't forget that Obasanjo was a former head of state. So you can't be as visible as that. Nobody can be as visible as that, But again, it was about the people. And then again, the Southwest was backing Olufalaye. If you remember that the Southwest went to Olufalaye and his political party. Obasanjo is from the Southwest, but didn't get anything in the Southwest. The only time he was able to make any meaningful political gain in the Southwest was when he did a collaboration with Bola Tinubu, and the governors of the AG then, if I remember correctly. And it was on the basis of the fact that they were looking at Obasanjo as their own, and that they needed Obasanjo to have some political leverage in the country. So unfortunately, a lot of them are claiming that they had a tacit agreement with Obasanjo to vote for him at the national level, and the governorship would go to them. But Obasanjo came in and swooped on the Southwest, and I think took about four states or so, about three states for the PDP. And so they saw that as a betrayal. So from that perspective, it is the backing that the political backing that Osinbajo is going to get from in terms of resources, because the backing is not just political. It's not just about trying to garner people to vote for him, but it's also the resources that they can muster for him. I doubt that he has half of the money, a quarter of the money that Tinubu has, but the party and the government always bring that. Of course, you know how they raise money for elections. That is even the contradiction, because what a lot of these governments are doing, they just tell them to go and bring some billions of naira, and they have to do it because they want their party to remain in power. And don't forget that when Buhari was military head of state, he jailed people like Ambu Sali, and most of the governors were jailed on the basis of the financial support to give to their political party, which the military government said was illegal. But under the Buhari presidency, he has gained from the same thing. Anyway, so it's part of the contradiction that we see in life and with human beings.
All right, let's take some calls.
Besides, we're going to see what is going to happen. APC is still not in safe waters with regards to the convention that they had. Don't forget that as at the early morning of, before then, the convention had been postponed several times.
Mm.
And as at the morning of that convention, they were still busy talking to people about the need for consensus. Some candidates got up on the podium and said that they were not consulted. And some, who were told about consensus said that they are not going to be part of it. So it just tells you, gives you an idea that it was not as if the consensus was achieved, but it was not as if it was achieved on the basis of the will of the people, that they were more or less coerced into agreeing to, a consensus. So the ripple effect of that is still playing out. And you don't know what's going to happen within the APC.
Yes.
People have wondered about a possible implosion.
Yes, I think it's for both parties at this time, Achike. Because if you look at the candidates or the aspirants rather who are trying to get the ticket for the PDP, it doesn't look like it's going to be an easy one for anyone to say, "Oh, I'm going to concede."
Yeah, Yeah, you know, I had said so. PDP is also not in safe waters because of the fact that APC was able to sort out the issue of zoning, and which they have done well. Nobody's complaining or fighting over zoning within the APC, because in the PDP, they have not been able to do that. So that itself might end up being their Achilles heel.
Right.
If they don't handle it well, we could also have some level of implosion also within the PDP, if not in terms of the electorate, in terms of the people that are going to vote, because they're also going to need votes from the South. So if these regions feel that they have been cheated, you know, that they have been unfairly treated, then you cannot guarantee the votes that will be coming to the PDP. And don't forget that the South has been, especially South and South East, has been the bastion of the PDP when it comes to votes, you know, in the South.
All right.
Always gotten the majority of their votes from the South.
Okay. Let's take some calls. And someone is asking here, why can't they give a youth a chance to try? The person doesn't know the cost of the nomination tickets and forms, rather. And,
let me just quickly say this. I just said somewhere, you know, in the course of this discussion, that power is never given. Power is taken.
Of course.
And that the problem we're having with, perhaps the problem we're having with our independence is that we did not fight, we did not die for, we did not spill blood. That is why, you know, we have not handled our country correctly. Perhaps if we had paid a higher price, we would have known the cost of that, of the price we paid, and would have been more careful, you know, with governance in Nigeria. Now, but beyond that, it's not about the youth. The youth should fight to be given a space, like at the negotiating table. It is not something that people are going to come over to you. They must look for a way to also get into the structures of this party. That we must also be careful, because the youth have had a chance from 1999 till date. If you're looking at the youthful population, to maybe something between, and I know the age is contentious, but
yes, it is.
Five downwards. Yet most of the governors in this country were age 45 years below. Now that's a youthful segment of the society.
Mm.
In fact, I think that Dem Duke also was around 38 years when he became governor of
Cross River State.
Oji Kalu also was perhaps around 42 or so. Many of them were 40. Many were 45. So perhaps the oldest was around 50.
Mm.
It was after that phase that generation of governors had maybe sat at their tenure that we began to see governors that were much older than that. So what did these governors do at that youthful age? What did they do? So morality and ethics, which has been the bane of our politics, when you talk about corruption and so on, these are value-driven issues. These are moral-based issues, ethical issues. You know, the youth have not been able to also show that they are very different from the older generation of politicians in the country.
All right.
So in as much as we are berating the old guards and saying all kinds of things about them, we should remember that the vast majority of governors in this country were useful. What did they do with the positions that they had, with the power and authority that they had?
Okay.
Almost nothing. A lot of them disappointed.
Let's take some calls, Achike, at this time, and comments. Victor Marcus says, the battle line between the father and son has been drawn. If Tinubu is that democratic enough, as he claims, he would bring down his political ambition, thereby supporting Oshibajo for president. Victor Marcus sent that in. In 2019, Akinwumi Ambode was about to be denied second term as Lagos governor. He approached his colleague to help beg Asiwaju. The PDP governors forum met Tinubu in Abuja. Their chairman, Atiku Bagudu of Kebbi State, prostrated before Asiwaju, the godfather. Their request was that was not granted. Ambode was replaced by Sanwo-Olu. The APC governors forum were disappointed and embarrassed. Today, reluctantly, Asiwaju was before the APC governors, led by the same Bagudu, who went and prostrated before Asiwaju. He's seeking their help and support the way Oshibajo did yesterday. The governors are in control of the delegates that will vote in the primary. One good turn, they say, deserve another. This is this not the time for the governors to pay back Tinubu in his own coins? Achike.
Yes, I mean, it's enlightening. I thank the person for, obviously, he has a good memory. That was actually what happened. Ambode was running from pillar to post. The reality is that Tinubu talks about democracy and the rest. Tinubu is not a democrat. Most of these people are not democrats. We have to say the way it is. he is holding sway in the Southwest, especially in Lagos, and it is his word is the authority. And so there are certain things you might even want to get from a governor, a support from a governor for a particular position that you want to fight for in the election. And the governor will direct you to Tinubu, because Tinubu is one that makes decision. It is not fiction. This is not a niche. This is the way it is. You know, and so, we don't exactly know where the pendulum is going to swing.
All right.
But the president is going to be also decisive. I think the president's support will go a very long way in determining who will emerge as the presidential candidate of the APC. Don't forget, Tinubu went to him. The president made a non-committal statement. Oshibajo has also gone to the president. He made, I think, a non-committal statement, but people are beginning to feel that perhaps the president's support is for Oshibajo.
Well, yes, some people in this part believe that it's for Rotimi Amaechi.
Some governors around Oshibajo. But it's going to be interesting. And don't forget that they might want to go for consensus. And that was why the president, when he had issues with National Assembly overturning the Electoral Act, he insisted that the mandate for direct primaries should be removed from the Electoral Act, and then they should embody both direct and indirect primaries as well as consensus. And it was that consensus that they used at the convention.
Right.
So they might want to seek for consensus, and that is where there might be a problem, because Tinubu is not going to give way. And it is going to be, and you might not blame Tinubu so much. This is his political, protege. People are saying that he should have allowed him to go for the presidency since he has served as president. Mm. There's a lot of sense in that. But
since
because he has shown his interest, he feels that Oshibajo should automatically suppress his own political interest. And that he will feel that for him it's going to be a do-or-die situation, because he's going to feel personally humiliated if Oshibajo ends up triumphing and becoming the candidate of the APC. So if the Oshibajo, if Tinubu doesn't step down, he will fight to the last to ensure that he emerges and not Oshibajo, because it will be humiliating that his boy is godson, whether he has a godson or not.
All right. We have a message here. Kaute Magnus said the candidature of Bola Tinubu will not be a blessing to APC, but Nigeria at large. He has all the requisite skills and manpower to elevate Nigeria from its current state to a more refined and polished state. May Tinubu succeed. The one I wanted to read.
The person that just said that is entitled to his opinion.
Of course, here in
Lagos, a lot of Lagosians are lamenting about the lack of democracy and the lack of transparency in the way things are being done in Lagos. The issue of taxes, 10% of all taxes going to Tinubu and so on. These are issues
we know that.
And then the carte blanche approval given to area boys in Lagos State and all kinds of elements to ride roughshod over the citizens.
But
a lot of people are attributing it to Tinubu. So it depends.
Lagosians will not decide his fate.
Yes, but we're talking about his profile. And since all politics is local, you also have to look at his background, where he's coming from. He has some positives, there's no doubt about that, but there's also a lot of baggage. But most telling of this baggage is not just the age, but his state of health.
Okay.
Tinubu is not exactly in good health. And we have had to endure a President Buhari who has spent over about maybe 200 days outside this country when he should be in Nigeria, looking at the myriad of social political problems.
Let me take a few calls. A lot of this time abroad.
I don't think it will be fair for Nigerians to have to endure another president that spends his time abroad on treatment. So it depends. It depends on how you look at it.
Okay. Let's take some calls. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Ryan, good morning to you.
Yes, you're on.
I guess you heard a comment from a Yoruba group upon the Amaechi declaration. He ran around the field, and some Yoruba group saw something that wrong or that phrase, he picked something. The truth is this. The Jagaban is like a code for the Yoruba high-ranking people. It's a code. It's not just a name. And Osibanjo is boy declaring that also the big anarchy. Look at his comment. I want to enhance the legacy of President Muhammadu Buhari. He did not picture his boss, the Jagaban, which is also an issue. All these people declaring on the auspices of the APC, they are just deepening the crisis. I'm right. Just saying it. These guys should look for a way to have a level playing ground, a consensus among themselves, the peaceful atmosphere.
All right.
Jagaban himself is not happy at this moment, and you don't know the next point of call. Osibanjo might be in problem for that declaration. Just watch carefully.
Well, he's the vice president. Tony says, well, actually, since zoning ought to get to the southeast and not the southwest or the south-south, the north-central and the north-east to have ruled. So if we're not sincere for power to go to the southeast, then power should remain with the north. Those who campaign now that power should come to the south in 2023, are they not the people who worked against southern interests in 2015? I believe those who are talking about zoning are only selfish. They're doing so for power to be zoned to them, and they're selfish. Tonya, send that in. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, the very distinguished.
Yes, you're on.
Yes, Temple Okere. Please, I want to say something in this regard. In as much as all these aspirants are coming up, but at this point in time, I think if we look at where we are, we need somebody that will come and tell us something that we need to hear.
Something you haven't heard before.
Most of them that are coming are not even giving us good, tangible manifestos of good economic climate. But rather than come up and tell us we want to start from where this person stops, to want to start from where this person stops. Why did they know that that person stops? They should tell us what they need, what they think they can do to take us from where we are right now. Because where we are right now, I believe,
All right, thank you for calling. So that will be after the primaries, all right? Then we can now delve into manifestos. We're Nigerian Football Hacker. Good morning. Okay, that person is not there. We've got Ben. And I'm strongly of the view that power should come to the south. But then, I doubt your guest insisting that PDP's refusal to zone to the south would backfire. On the contrary, I perceive it is a covert and deliberate ploy by the entire northern bloc to retain power. Mind you, the north has always been comfortable with the historical trajectory that political power is mostly dictated by the northern region. And so, the question that your guest should help answer is, will the heavens fall if the north retain power after Buhari? Oh, well, he's spoken several times about this before. Of course, the heavens won't fall, but, you know, there are several agitations that he believes a southern president would, you know, just take care of. Anselm says, when you say south, does it include the southwest or the south, south and southeast? All of the above. Emmy, this is so long. I apologize. I can't read it. Woka Richie, Tinubu and Oshibaja on the same page about the contest for the presidency. One of them will become president with the support of the other. It's high-level political intellectualism on display. No need for malice. Well, we wait to see that day. We look at PDP's attempt at jettisoning zoning as being unfair to southern Nigeria, particularly the southeast. Yet we want leaders who emerge via zoning to make political appointments mainly based on competence. That's almost impossible. Good trees don't produce bad fruits regularly. And also, bad trees don't produce good fruits regularly. So, if we want competent Nigerians to be placed in appointive positions, then executive office holders, competent through and through, are best placed to recognize, nominate, and appoint competent people into office. Zoning does not prioritize competence. It prioritizes geography and ethnicity. Have we also noticed that the oldest two candidates appear to be the least educated candidates? I see a trend towards more educated office holders. We've had them as governors, senators. Where did that take us to text? We're Nigerian. Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Enoa, good morning.
Yes, you're on.
Let me first of all answer the question that somebody has to send message.
that among them, they are looking for a young man that would be the president. Let me have the to know that Peter B is a younger politician who performed well when he was a governor excellently. And then let me go to the issue of Tinubu and Obasanjo. Since I know, in politics, they say there's no permanent enemy and there's no permanent friend.
Interest.
It's a contest. And when presently we don't know, two of them have indicated interest. And we don't know the person that is central in the minds of the citizens of the country.
Delegates, so the delegates, the delegates.
I am concluding by saying, let ABP wisely also zone the presidency to the south as APC has done.
Thank you for calling. It's on the delegates, actually. It's on the delegates. Okay, there's a poll going on Nigerian Info at Nigerian Info PH on Twitter, so you can do well to join that conversation. Nothing there for me here. Can I take one message and then we'll wrap it up this morning? This one says, I think looking at the role religion plays in our politics, do you think Tinubu will make it, given the fact that the North would not feel the Christian Northerner? Mike from Port Harcourt. Okay, what's the issue for Shibajo's ambition to declare for president? Tinubu and Buhari joined their parties together to form APC. Buhari became president. Tinubu could not become his vice because they're both Muslims. Tinubu brought Shibajo. The tenure of Tinubu has expired. Shibajo has the right to contest as president. Sweet Tony, everyone has the right to contest as long as they meet the requirements by law. But let's see what the delegates will do and, of course, see how the issues will come up in coming days. My name is Eno Agbevery. Thank you for joining the conversation. Continues online at Nigeria Info PH. Good morning.